Communications show.
Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to both of you. I'll apologize for yesterday, but I'm going to point my finger at you. I'm a problem. I was the cause, but nobody called me.
Well, we didn't call you on purpose. We got all committed to sleep, and I gazed at the portion, and I didn't think it was a good one to read on Java Oaks, at least that one anyway. And we were tired, too. None of us had slept during the day, so it was okay.
Well, I'm glad you didn't call me because I didn't need to sleep. So I apologize for, telling you I would be there. And then the same thing happened with the later class as well.
Oh, well, good, because I fell asleep. And I didn't wake up till 9:30, so I said, oh, well.
Okay, so please join me. I'm sorry?
I said, I think we got enough during the night before to carry us for several days, to tell you the truth. That was wonderful. I thought it was the most meaningful one. It was for me anyway. I think it'll stay for more than a lot of days, in other words.
Yeah, there was a lot of material, a lot of light revealed that night.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had done the crowns and the jewels before, but it just was more meaningful this year for me anyway. So.
I hear you. I understand. It was for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move forward with advanced reincarnation. Hana, where do you show us at?
Let me check. I was thinking it was Wednesday. I have chapter 7:3 open. Does that sound right?
Yes, that's where I'm at as well. I always like to confirm.
Okay.
So do you guys want me to, let's do the normal. Please join me in saying the Anapata.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Okay. Anapata. Gedula chiminta pati terira. I'll pet gimo yutat body. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu kaharenu no. Kufre Shayan, Sintet Nun. Nagibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kivava, Shamrem. Nun Gibel Dalid, Yutkaf Shin. Barhon Taharem, Rakame Sitkatha, Tamid Gam Lame. Petet Resh, Saditav Kimmel. Hasin Kadosh, Viro Tucha, Nael Adata. Het Kufbet, Tet Nunayan. Yahid Geyen, Lamcham Pene. Zofre Kiddushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. The letters of the month of Sivan, the Resh that created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Zion that created the constellation Teumim, the twins, the astrological sign of Gemini. Together, the Resh and the Zion spell the Hebrew word Raz, which means secret. The gematria of Raz, Resh Zion, is 207, the same gematria as the Hebrew word for light, or, and the phrase Adon Olam, master of the universe, and ultimately the En Sof, which also has a gematria of 207. Shabbatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumo Shinkufab Zadiyutaf. We've brought the energy of creation into our space, and now we will need to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notze Chesed L'alafim, Notze Awon Wafesha, V'chata'a V'nakei. Now we're going to connect to the energy of the year, which this year of 5777, the energy is that of the goat. And we have two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to parse them into three Hebrew words, Tzatz Ki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to permute them into Dir Yam, and which is translated as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to this energy of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Ki im ba Adonai Yohei Wahei Eloheichem Tadivaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now for the year 5776, known as the year of the pause, there are also two verses that connect to this energy. The first is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu lehavshit et kol ha'olot v'yachaskum Acheichem ha-Leviim Ad gelot ha-Mlacha V'ad yitkachu ha-Kohanim Ki ha-Leviim Yishrei levav Le-Yitkadesh Me-ha-Kohanim. And the second of, well, this verse has 25 words. And when we permute the first letters of these 25 words, we're able to have eight names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me Hey 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 Aka A Reka Ha. And the second verse is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bitu ba Adonai Yohei Wahei Ade ad kibia Yohei Adonai Yohei Wahei Sur olamim. And the verse There are three verses that connect to the year 5775, which has the energy of swallowing death forever. The first of the three that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo tishemimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second that we study is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, uru, mikol hamachavoya. Asher yitchabe sham wishaltem elai el nahom. Wichalakti yitchem wichayayim yeshno. Baretz v'chipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved ro'av yomru ayom. And that brings us to the year 5774. Which is the, there's only one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom liami li Yisrael untati vishakam kachta vilo yirgaz od vilo yosifu b'nei avla la'anoto. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar. We read from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29, from the Sulam commentary. The energy of this verse is that of certainty. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha berichu ishkintei bichilu. Urhimud, hilud, hilud, urhimu. Leachta l'shem yud hei bavav hei. Bi'chuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. Lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayhi noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei adenu konane aleinu ma'asei adenu konanehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nandakucha Berichu Koma Diaved Leela Witwata Kolaihu Kishot Viovada Dikshot Beleila Mila Bealma Vivae Barnash Ledachya Leia minea ulan hagabea Kulana deha kulhu Ovada dikshot inun Wikola itzterich bi'alma. We'll now scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim who left this evening, the eighth day of Sivan, Rabbi Moshe Blau, Rabbi Yisachar Dov Goldstein, Rabbi Menachem Manish Safran, Rabbi Zalman Rothberg, Rabbi Moshe Nehemia ben Rabbi Meshulam Kahana. And the eighth verse of the Anabakoach we say in a whisper. The class tonight is Advanced Reincarnation. You will find that on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11, the second column from the left. It says Advanced Reincarnation. When we open that up, scroll down to class number 8 and then to the Advanced Reincarnation class 8E as in Edward. And that opens up to chapter 7, section 3, which is titled Sparks Retained. And I'm beginning to read. In this section, the Rav will explain in greater detail what the second level of soul is, and he will describe an advantage of the first level over the second. The second level consists of the sparks of the soul that remained with Adam after the sin, and which he bequeathed to Cain and Abel when they were born. They are considered to be new to some extent, but not completely. And when they are rectified, they will be more elevated than all the other souls that fell from Adam, since they had the ability to remain in Adam, and they did not fall into the Klipot. It was during the actual lifetime of Adam that he bequeathed them to his sons. When his sons Cain and Abel inherited them, it was not considered an actual Gilgul, as if they came from a first body that died. It was during the actual lifetime of Adam that he bequeathed them to his sons when they were born. Therefore, all the sparks that are included in Cain and Abel are considered as if they are still part of Adam himself, as if they did not fall from him. When these sparks came as part of Adam, they did not come to rectify themselves. Even though they were a part of him, they did not belong to him. Thus, they are considered as if they never came. Not all the sparks that were included in Adam fell from him, as we learned previously. Some of these soul sparks remained within him, and he needed them for his own existence. However, others that remained within him were not needed for his own tikkun, and they were transmitted to his sons, Cain and Abel. It is these that constitute the second level discussed here. Since they were not needed by Adam himself, and they also did not fall with the other old souls, they are to be considered as somewhat new, an intermediate category between the new souls, the first level, and the old souls, the third level. Also, when they later came included within Cain and Abel, during the lifetime of Adam, it is also not to be considered a true incarnation. They did not come for themselves again because they had yet to be divided into individual sparks in their own bodies. Rather, they were only included in the bodies of Cain and Abel, which was not to be considered a true incarnation. They were included in Cain and Abel apparently because the latter were still the roots of the entire human race that was to follow. However, they were not participants in the Gilgul. They were just being stored there awaiting distribution. Hence, only when one of these sparks is afterwards apportioned to a body is it considered a first incarnation. It is a new incarnation to some extent, but not entirely, because they did already come in Adam, Cain and Abel. If one of these almost new souls sins, he will have to die and reincarnate. If such a person sins and causes a blemish and dies and reincarnates, then it will be called an old Gilgul. If one of these almost new souls sins like other old souls when he completes nefesh from Asiyah, he will have to die and reincarnate in order to get his ruach, and that will also apply in order to get his neshama. During the first time in the world, it is called a somewhat new soul, as we have explained. It can achieve the nefesh of Asiyah, the ruach of Yetzirah, and the neshama of Briah, and the nefesh of Atzilut. In this respect, they are like new souls. If they have not yet become blemished, then they can grow all the way to nefesh of Atzilut. However, it cannot achieve more than this, which is a difference between these second level souls and the first level souls, which can attain all the way to the neshama of the neshama of Atzilut. And remember, neshama of the neshama is the level of Chaya. The first level souls can complete until Chaya of Atzilut, but the second level souls can complete only until Nefesh of Atzilut. Still, that is very much relative to old souls. And the reason for this difference is that when Adam sinned, he lost the supernal radiance, the Zehira Ila'a, as mentioned in the Zohar, which is the levels of Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yeshida of the world of Atzilut. The supernal radiance is the soul of Adam from the level of Atzilut. When he sinned, the higher levels of the supernal radiance disappeared by ascending above. The only level that was left to him was the Nefesh of Atzilut. They are called the supernal radiance, and rather than fall into the Klipot, which are only in the three worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, they were taken up to their places. Thus, from all the levels of Atzilut called supernal radiance, only the Nefesh of Atzilut remained. Whenever there is sin, then the higher lights ascend and depart in order not to be taken up in the sin and sullied. This description is exactly the same as the description of one of the details of the shattering of the vessels. In that place also, when the vessels broke, the higher lights ascended back to where they had come from. At the same time, the sparks equivalent here to the lower lights descended together with the broken vessels into the realm of the Klipot. As an unwritten commentary, we have these metaphors referring to sparks of souls, and we have another metaphor referring to the breaking of the vessels. The breaking of the vessels comes from the world of Nikudim, from the world of dots, and also from the world of Akudim, essentially. But essentially, these worlds were based on Sephirot that were not in the structure of the Tree of Life. They were in the structure of a straight line, where they didn't communicate to the Sephirah below them. They just shared. Everything they received would flow through them to the lower level. And what this paragraph is explaining, that when in the world of Akudim, the Sephirah of Keter shared everything it had to Chachmah, Chachmah couldn't handle all of that light, but it didn't break. It became somewhat damaged, but it didn't break. Then Chachma would share everything it received to Bina. And it became damaged, but it didn't break. It became more damaged than Chachma, but it also didn't completely break. Now, when it came to the level of Chesed, which received everything that Bina had to share, it did break. And it would, whatever it shared with Devorah, that also broke. So there was sharing first, but then as the light continued to flow to that Sephirah, it became overcome and it broke. But there was always some aspect that fell or that was shared prior to the breaking. And that's why there are these different levels of lights that fell into the Klipot. Because it has to do with when did that vessel break. The Rav explains furthermore, I'm continuing to read. The Rav explains furthermore that whenever there is sin, there then the higher lights ascend and depart in order not to be sullied. Thus, when these sparks that were included in Cain and Abel came into the world now for the first time, they can only achieve through their deeds up to the level of Nefesh of Atzilut and no more. However, completely new souls can grow from the Nefesh of Asiyah to the heights of Atzilut, called the supernal radiance. This is an advantage of the first level over the second level. My commentary. The section is clear as it is written. The question does occur as to what is the significance of this information. For the time being, it is creating definition of new soul, a soul in Adam that rose prior to the sin of Adam. Old soul, a soul that participated in the sin and therefore will need to be done to die and be reincarnated. And a third level, which is called almost new soul, a soul that was given to Cain and Abel while Adam was alive and did not participate in the sin. Thus, these almost new souls are considered new when it comes to the idea that they can complete their tikkun. Yet the tikkun cannot complete above the level of nefesh, of atzilut. Remember that a true new soul can complete its level up to the level of chaya, of atzilut. Now let's ask another question. A soul who left Adam prior to the sin, what is the tikkun of this soul? Now is the time for you to respond. Would anybody like to respond or just have me continue to read? Here is a hint. What was the one mitzvah given to Adam? Is that still a mitzvah? How about the concept of allowing oneself to not try to make another person see your truth as his truth? Please contemplate this. What I'm saying in an unwritten commentary. When a new soul reincarnates in our generation, it still has a tikkun, just as it had in Adam. What was that tikkun? To not eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. It still has that. But what does it mean to eat from the tree of knowledge? It's to appreciate the truth that my truth is just as valid as another person's truth, and their truth is just as valid as my truth. And for me to think otherwise means I am causing separation in this universe. And the correction of these new souls is to not cause separation in any level of their being or their interactions with other people. That's the end of the section. Does anybody have any questions? Chapter 7, Section 4, titled Challenge to Second Level Souls. Another advantage of level 1 over level 2 is the facility by which the highest levels of soul can be rectified, whereas level 2 souls can rectify the highest levels only with difficulty and effort, even though they can achieve the highest levels. There is another advantage of a new soul, which has been called level 1. When it comes into the world for the first time, it can easily attain within the same body the nefesh of Asiyah, until the neshama of the neshamas we have mentioned. The nefesh will become the dwelling place and the throne of the ruach, and the ruach to the neshama, and so on. The main point here is that new souls can easily achieve all the highest levels. Furthermore, as new sales are attained, each previous level becomes the dwelling place or the throne of the next level. This is none other than the concept of hitkadshut, or in clothing, which was explained in a special note at the end of Chapter 2. As an unwritten commentary, it's important for everyone to realize we compare ourselves to other people. But how can you do that when the other person you're comparing yourself might be a new soul? So their life appears to you to be easier. But is it really easier? Or it's easier because they didn't participate in the sin of Adam? How can you make a comparison to another human being? You don't know their level of soul. Mostly you don't even know your own level of soul. Continuing to read. However, this is not the case for the souls of level 2, which are the sparks that were included in Cain and Abel. Although they can achieve as high as the nefesh of Atzilut in one lifetime, it will not be with the ease of level 1. This is what we spoke about regarding the secret of Yibum at night, and the verse, "My nefesh has desired you at night. Even with my ruach that is within me will I seek for you." We say this verse, this is an unwritten commentary, we say this verse when we go to sleep because the Ari has told us that this allows us to not have to die, reincarnate, take 20 years to become an adult before we can grow to another higher level. By saying this verse, we're able to do so that night as our souls elevate. It is considered a death. And when they come back in the morning, it's at that new level. and they can continue, thereby saving time in that process, the 20 years. Continuing to read. In chapter 3, section 8, we learn that a person who...
I have a question. Run that by again. Just one more time.
That's not a question. That's not a question.
Okay. Can you... my question is, what was the verse that the Ari said that we needed to say at night when we go to bed?
It's Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9. And it's into the 10 levels of the nighttime Shema if you're doing that.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't realize that because I do the Shema.
Well, doing the Shema is not the nighttime Shema.
Okay.
You know, or you're asking about it?
No, I'm just saying thank you for telling me.
I don't know what that means, Brandy. So I'll take an aside for just a minute. The nighttime Shema, we say the Shema in the morning, and we say it in the evening. And then a third time is called the nighttime Shema, and that's said just before we go to sleep. That is much more extensive than even the 248 words of the Shema. And as we know, there are different sects of children of Israel, and they have different patterns of behavior. And many of them just say the two lines of the Shema. Others say the two lines plus the paragraph of the V'ahavta. But in the nighttime Shema, to have this effect, you have to do all 248 words plus the other 9 levels of the nighttime Shema. And this is why the nighttime Shema has a very extensive title. The Shema Hamitah. So if you're not familiar with the nighttime Shema, all of the levels, I believe I have a page on my website that has that description. So if you do a local search for nighttime Shema, you will find that somewhere in that list of items. So I'm going to continue. No problem. I'm going to continue unless there's some additional questions. In chapter 3, section 8, we learn that a person who completes his nefesh cannot normally receive his ruach in the same lifetime. If his ruach has already been blemished in a previous Gilgul, he will have to die and reincarnate, unless the need is great. By meditating upon the verse, "My nefesh has desired you at night, even with my ruach that is within me will I seek for you," when he goes to sleep at night, he can cause the ruach to descend in place of his nefesh. This will allow him to rectify the ruach in the same lifetime that the tikkun of the nefesh was completed. After a nefesh has become completely rectified, it leaves a person at night while he sleeps. One of the points that the Rav will add here is that the Ruach will descend in the morning in place of the Nefesh, which is while it is clothed within the Nefesh of the convert. It cannot descend into a body without being ensconced within a Nefesh, and its own Nefesh has remained above in the supernal well. Therefore, as we shall see, if it clothes itself in the nefesh of the convert. And we've had some brief discussions of that in earlier classes. In addition, the Rav has added here a new nomenclature for this phenomena. He calls it the secret of Yibum at night, and has mentioned it here since it is possible through meditation at night upon the verse mentioned above to attain all three levels, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, in one gilgul. The nefesh will correct itself. This is an unwritten commentary. The nefesh will correct itself. Then it goes to sleep that night if you do the proper meditations. The ruach comes down with a nefesh of a convert. And then you go continue your life and you have the potential to correct that ruach. Let's assume that you do. Then since you're still meditating on the nighttime Shema, that verse is meditated on, and so when you go to sleep that night, the ruach will go upstairs, and the neshama will come down with your corrected ruach and the nefesh of the convert. And then you can go through your lifetime and complete the tikkun of the neshama. After a nefesh has become completely rectified, it leaves a person at night while he sleeps, and the nefesh of a convert enters him in its place in the morning together with the ruach of the man himself. At night, while a person sleeps, he deposits his soul above. Normally, the soul comes back the next morning to continue on with the tikkun, which is, in the case of a completed nefesh, would not be necessary. Therefore, it remains above, and indeed, instead, the nefesh of a convert returns in its place to make the possible tikkun of the ruach during a single lifetime. The nefesh will be the throne for its own ruach. The ruach will be clothed within the nefesh until it is completely rectified. At that point, the first nefesh will return to the body and they remain together. The nefesh will be the throne for its own ruach. If the person merits even more afterwards, then his nefesh and ruach will leave him at night. And in the morning, his neshama will enter him and remain there until completely rectified. After that time, his nefesh and ruach will re-enter him, and the three levels will remain together. However, all of this is only with great effort and difficulty, and after focusing intently. This is the secret of the verse. If he would take notice of him, then he would gather into himself his ruach and his neshama. If he will be wise and if he knows the meditation, yibum at night, of which we spoke, and if he will pay attention and focus his heart, then he will be able to gather unto himself in this body his ruach and his neshama without the need for further gilgulim. With the proper wisdom, understanding, and concentration, a person who might normally have required many different gilgulim to rectify his nefesh, his ruach, and his neshama can use the yibum at night meditation as a way to complete all three of them during one incarnation. In addition, another advantage of level one souls over level two souls has been explained. Although level two souls can achieve very high levels like level one souls, they can only do so with great effort and difficulty. When the need is great and when they are proficient in the meditation, called Yibum at night. My commentary. Do you know which verses in the nighttime Shema is the Yibum at night? It is the verse Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9. This verse is part of the nighttime Shema. It is necessary to do more than just read it in order to allow it to work. Here is the verse. Nafshi avitika balaila afruchi bekiribi ashkircha ki ka asher mishivticha la'aret sedek lamdu yoshvei tevel. The full translation. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yes. With my spirit within me have I sought thee earnestly. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. I suggest you utilize the tools of Kabbalah to study these verses. The tools like the first and last letters and the gematria, plus the word and the letter count. That's the end of the section. I would just like to add one unwritten commentary. We've been talking in terms of a nefesh or a ruach or a neshama, but it actually applies to the fact that there are 613 nefeshes in every body. There are 613 ruachs in every body. There are 613 neshamot in every body. So if you correct one of those parts of the soul of nefesh today, and you do this meditation, that nefesh goes up but does not come back down. That body part will have a ruach to come back down, your ruach, but it brings with it a nefesh of a convert. And we have explained very briefly how that aspect works. We learned it in one of our classes in the Zohar. Chapter 7, Section 5. The early death of Tzaddikim. People who do not know how to draw down the Ruach and the Neshama through the Yibum at night meditation have to die. And if they are Tzaddikim who have rectified the Nefesh at an early age, then they will die young. And this applies to the second level souls as well. This person must therefore die in order to rectify his ruach in a second body. Now, since I mentioned just a few minutes ago about the 613 parts, is it possible that the person dies for each of the 613 components of their soul? The answer is no. But if enough of their nefeshes are corrected and they don't do the meditation properly, they will have to die. Now, if somebody asks me how much is enough, it's always relative to the individual. But we have, you know, the Ari died at the age of 38. The Ramchal at the age of, I think he was in his late 30s also. There are many Tzaddikim who have died early. Did they not know about this tool? And the answer is many of them did not. Can we say that the Ari didn't know? Of course we can't, because he told us about it. But he had completed his work in teaching Rabbi Chaim Vital, and when he left, he became a better teacher because he was no longer limited by the physical body. Continuing to read. A person may completely rectify his nefesh, but not know how to draw his ruach to him to rectify it, as has been previously explained. Leaving this nefesh at night in the supernal well through meditation upon the verse, as we said, my nefesh has desired you at night. This person must therefore die in order to rectify his ruach in a second body. When it is rectified, then his nefesh will join him. If by this time he still does not know how to send his ruach away at night, in order to draw his neshama to rectify it, according to the previously mentioned meditation, then he will have to die a second time, so that his neshama can enter a third body to become rectified. And after rectification, his nefesh and ruach will re-enter to join his neshama, as discussed previously. Remarkably, this is why some completely righteous people die early in life. They have rectified their nefesh entirely after only a few years, but they do not know how to draw down their ruach by sending away their nefesh, using the meditation we discussed earlier. They die at an early age since there is no reason to delay their time in this world. There is no reason for them to remain in this world since they have completed the tikkun of their nefesh. If they would receive ruach, then they could begin the tikkun of ruach while still in the same lifetime. However, since they do not know how to draw down the ruach, and have no need for further rectification of the nefesh, there isn't any reason for them to remain in this world. They leave early so that their ruach may enter a second body to become rectified. The same is true for righteous people who merited their nefesh and ruach and rectified them and do not know how to send them away to draw down their neshama. And this is the esoteric meaning of the verse, they die, but not with wisdom. Sometimes people die due to a lack of wisdom, not knowing how to draw down their ruach or their neshama. However, this only applies for someone who has rectified his nefesh, but whose ruach and neshama still remain blemished from the first time. It should be recalled that the Rav reverted to the discussion of the Yibum at night meditation by way of explaining the second advantage of the first level over the second level souls. Their ascent can go beyond Briah to the level of Nefesh of Atzilut. Second level souls are those that remained in Adam after his sin, and were transmitted to his sons Cain and Abel. Like first-level souls, they can complete immense tikkunim in one lifetime, from the nefesh of Asiya to the nefesh of Atzilut. However, unlike first-level souls, they can only accomplish this with great difficulty and effort. And it was for this reason that the Rav reverted to the discussion of the Yibum at night meditation. However, second level souls have been somewhat blemished by the sins of Adam, Cain, and Abel. They can only advance from level to level with great difficulty and with the assistance of the Yibum at night meditation. We have now explained the advantages of the first level over the second level. These second-level souls were blemished to some extent, by the sins of Adam. Cain and Abel, although not like those souls of the third level, who fell into the realm of the Klipot. Therefore, they need the Yibum at night meditation in order to ascend from level to level, but their ascent can go beyond Briah to the level of Nefesh of Atzilut. In contrast, someone whose Ruach and Neshama are not previously blemished does not need the meditation in order to ascend from level to level. Someone whose Ruach and Neshama are already rectified and now completes the rectification of his Nefesh, then his Ruach and Neshama can enter to be clothed within the Nefesh, since they are already rectified like him. Obviously, Ruach and Neshama do not need to enter a body if they have already been rectified. In contrast, if they are only unblemished, they will still need to come in order to complete their tikkun. Thus, it is likely that the words "already rectified" written here should be understood as not blemished. Ruach and Neshama that are unblemished, but their tikkun has not yet been completed, will be able to enter and become ensconced within a rectified nefesh. Since they are not blemished, the rectified nefesh can become an exterior garment or throne for them. My commentary. Have you ever heard the phrase at a funeral or a shiva call, "the good die young"? This is the reason behind that phrase, as well as the comfort that it may bring to the bereaved family. As you read this section, did you ask yourself, why does someone correct their nefesh early and learn the Yibum at night meditation, and another person connects their nefesh early and does not? If not, you are not learning to think like a Kabbalist. By the way, I have not yet learned the answer to this question, yet I keep asking it. Remember, I once waited 13 years to get an answer to a question I asked in Kabbalah. Our time is up. Does anyone have any questions? In about an hour and a half, we will have our class on Zohar tonight. And the next class after that will be Saturday evening, Motzi Shabbat. At 6 p.m. we will do Havdalah. At 7 p.m. Zohar in the new week. And then Sunday morning at 10:30 we will have a class which has not yet been determined, but I'm still waiting for people to send me emails or give me a call to tell me what they would like to learn. So I wish you all Shabbat Shalom, and I hope to speak with you and study with you in the next hour and a half. Shalom to all.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.